The advances in technology we've been talking about all this week are both exciting and cautionary. Social media we apparently love, while regarding remote-controlled drones above our heads watching us, we're all a little more skeptical. Yet to stay ahead of technology, research universities must be in a position to create new breakthroughs, to see the potential for radical change far down the road, not simply react to new gadgets or breakthroughs that come from afar. This mission of increasing U.S. leadership in basic research with greater federal support of research institutions drives Dr. Shirley Jackson, president of Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in New York State. Just back from testifying before Congress, Dr. Jackson explained her latest project, enrolling the chess wizard Jeopardy champ IBM computer Watson as an actual student at RPI.
Well, you could think of Watson as almost like a legacy student, because so many Rensselaer alums had a big role in creating Watson, both on the software, the cognitive side, and the hardware. So that's how we think of it. But it'll be interesting for Watson, because Watson is at Rensselaer to teach, to learn, and to help us do research.
I gather, like a lot of incoming students at RPI and elsewhere, Watson could use a little communication skills upgrade.
Well, that is part of the learning for Watson. In fact, to extend Watson's cognitive capabilities. And that means we're going to put our very bright students on that, but bring them together with our computer science professors, cognitive science, computer engineering, to actually look at upgrading the artificial intelligence and cognitive associations capabilities.
For our audience, describe the difference between the speech recognition that you would find in, say, a Siri iPhone app and recognition of natural language, which is a very specific AI terminology.
Well, natural language means that one can use an input to talk in the way one would normally talk, but across a much broader front to ask a range of questions, including follow-up ones. Whereas Siri, which is a great technology, is focused on a more limited set. And therefore, there is a language recognition capability that is built in, but it is meant to not necessarily do all of the kinds of inferential associations that a Watson would do.
Quasi silly question. Does Watson have a guidance counselor or a student advisor?
Yes. Well, we always ensure that all of our students have a faculty advisor. We have a professor, Jim Hendler, who chairs our computer science department. He also is what is called a senior constellation professor in the tetherless world. And what that really means is that he is a web science expert. So he is Watson's faculty advisor.
Sounds like Watson scored a pretty good advisor there. So fraternity pledge, anything like that?
It's a little early. We try to have our freshmen be around a little bit and understand the university before we have them pledge.
And I guess hazing Watson, you just pull the plug, right?
Well, one could think of it that way, but we don't intend to haze Watson.
On a serious subject, you just finished testifying down in Washington on the sort of scientific mission of the federal government, something that you have described and others of your colleagues in higher education have described as something that's really eroded since the 1940s. Does the Obama administration get it on the investments that are needed in basic research at universities in the United States as a way of spurring innovation?
I would say for sure the Obama administration does get it in terms of the importance of basic research. The difficulty is, with the austere times we're in, how does that play against as well what the Congress is willing to do?
Talking with Dr. Shirley Jackson, who's president of Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, because you and I go back a little ways, I'll ask you this before we go. How are you feeling? What's your sense of the state of diversity in the sciences, particularly at this cutting edge right now?
You know, it's really not where it should be. Women have made a fair amount of progress, and we've certainly increased the percentage of women in our student body. When I came to Rensselaer, we were sitting at about 19%. Today, we're approaching a third. But if one looks at the breakdown, in the different fields. Women tend to be much more in life sciences, in biology, chemistry. There's nothing wrong with that, in biological engineering, in environmental things. But if you look at the hardcore computer sciences, computer engineering, the physical sciences, they're not there. And then if you look at underrepresented minorities, they remain severely underrepresented. So we're giving particular focus to that at Rensselaer in our recruiting, but also in looking at our retention.
All right, Dr. Shirley Jackson, president of Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. Thanks so much.
It's always my pleasure.
And send Watson down here. You know, we'll show him around New York.
Well, you know, you need to come on up, John, and
check
us out, and we'll have you go to school with Watson, and maybe the two of you can get into a little contest on some physics problems or something.
Or maybe what's your favorite color? I could probably beat him at that.
We'd see.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.